Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Problem with knowing too much stuff, being so tied into everything. God doesn't care that I know what's going on in Africa. I can't influence it. God cares that I'm concerned about my kids, what's going on in the home, what's going on in my heart. So often we're so concerned about what's out there that we don't realize there's something going on here that needs to be addressed. So these wants that we get often distract us. They're a hindrance to the true needs. See, God promises to meet our needs. He promises.
Are you a trivia nut? Do you tune in to every news outlet? Are you constantly on social media? There's so much in the world today that is extraneous to your purposes on this earth. So much to be distracted by and burdened. Join Pastor Troy today as he reminds you that the most important thing in your life is what God has placed in front of you. Your family, your home, your heart. Be tuned in to God's plan for your life. Nothing will matter in the end. Only how you've walked this life with Jesus by your side. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Here's what's going to have to happen. Listen. As we continue to read, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Second place to look is look at yourself. Look at yourself. We'll talk about two ways we're looking at ourselves that will be faith fuel for us. One way is that we look at the things that can be changed, that need to be changed, can be dealt with, and can be changed. That gives us hope. There's something we can do to change the future, change things, the direction, to change the relationships that we have. But also to look at the things, the victories that God has given, to show that He's faithful and that we can trust Him. Athletes used to wear, in fact, they still do. They'll run around with their little ankle weights or weights somewhere, and they run around with those things to give them more weight, more resistance, so they can build their tone, build their endurance. But when the race comes, you don't find them going, you know, I need my weights. I need those weights because I'm used to running with them now. No, no, they want to get rid of those weights because those weights will hinder them. Well, in our lives as Christians, there are things that are in our life that are like weights. We can't run our race effectively or well because of these things. They slow you down. They cause you to exert too much energy and too much stress, too much worry, and they break down your endurance to run the race that God has for you. So what are the weights that we should remove so that we can run to win? Well, I'm going to phrase it this way. Everything that hinders our progress to become Christ-like. Let me emphasize the word, everything that hinders our progress to become Christ-like becomes a weight. Because it takes our attention, it takes our time, it takes our worry. We worry about those things now, they're on our plate, all of these things. See, God's goal for us is not position, it's Christ-likeness. And let me read Romans 8:29, which says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Do you see what we're predestined for? When you come to Christ, you don't give your wish list. I'd like to be like so-and-so. I'd like to speak like so-and-so. And I'd like to look like, Lord, now that I'm yours, if you just give me those. He says, no, I already predestined what I have for you. and that's to become Christ-like. It's predetermined for everyone. And so the positions and the trials and everything that happened in your life is not to give you some position. It's to cause you to become like Christ. So I set you in this position, maybe permanently, maybe temporarily, but you're in this position and you've got this thorn in the flesh and you've got this and you've got these challenges because this is the environment that's going to help you to become more Christ-like. Because that's his goal. Now, we get all confused because, well, I was up here, now I'm down here. No. But position, isn't it position? That little line of I'm obeying so I should get more. In heaven, you're going to be nobody. Amen. Do you really want to be at the top only to be down at the bottom again when you're in heaven? In fact, Jesus said, the way up is down. Serve others. Whatever you do, just serve them. Don't seek great things. Don't seek the high seats. And know this, that wherever you are, whoever's around you, whatever the problems, whatever the encouragements, it's all to build you and to help you to be conformed into the image of Christ, to help you trust the Lord. Remember that when the trials come. Remember that when the demotions come or the promotions. Remember that. God is doing a work in you, and our job is not to hold on to anything or to seek after anything, but to respond the right way. An athlete doesn't choose between something that may be good or something that may be bad. The bad's out, as far as an athlete's concerned. Not even, you don't even think about it. No, an athlete is choosing what is best versus better. Better is gone. Best is what stays. Whatever takes me toward this goal, our goal of Christ-likeness, remember, whatever takes me toward Christ-likeness, that stays. Everything else must go. It is a distraction. It is a hindrance. It is a weight. Paul said this, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful in becoming Christ-like and serving in the capacity that God has given to us. He also said, all things are lawful. It's okay. But not all things edify. In other words, they don't build me in my mind, and they certainly don't set a good example for others. So, hey, it's okay. No one's saying it's not okay. We're saying it's not the best thing. It's not running to win. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought into subjection by any. And there are things that bring us into subjection, don't they? We don't want to give them up. We don't want to turn them loose, whether it be something like drinking. I only drink a glass of wine with my meal. That's okay. Can you stop? I don't want to stop. I'm not going to stop. I will not do that. It's my freedom. Oh, I see we got a problem. It's not a problem. Oh, we do. And it's not alcoholism. It's not drunkenness. It's the wine. It's your position. When there are things that we would hold on to if God asked them of us and we would not get rid of them, that thing is a stumbling stone. And it's a hindrance. It's a weight now, unfortunately. The things you attach yourself to become the weights. Television shows, they got that little hook, you know, and next week, I gotta watch it. So life revolves around somewhere in your schedule, now we can record everything, but somewhere in your schedule, you gotta fit that program in. It's a problem. I remember in my life coming to the realization one time I'd watch inspirational movies and all that, and I thought, I want to be where they are. You know, you think about Rocky. You watch Rocky, and I want to be there, you know. So you sit and you watch Rocky. Those who are making movies are causing us to waste our lives while we're inspired by their movies. We're wasting our life being inspired by their movie. Oh, that's inspiring. Are we going to do anything? No, unless it takes an hour and a half. If it takes me an hour and a half to win a championship, I'm all in. But that's not life. You know what life is? Instead of watching that and spending an hour and a half, 3 hours, or a week, or however long, investing all my time sitting watching, I need to be doing. I need to be doing the workout. I need to be taking the opportunities or hitting the streets, ministering to others. I need to be doing those things instead of watching everyone being inspired by it. So yes, we look to others, but we can't plant ourselves in one place a long time and just watch the race or watch others. We've got to look in our own lives and find out what things are keeping us from doing instead of just watching, sitting on the sidelines. The weight that hinders us most is us. My wants or my comforts versus God's plan. If we're going to overcome this, then there's something we have to learn to discern. We need to learn to discern the difference between wants and needs. And I think in our culture, we've lost really sight of what that is. We're a very blessed, rich culture. I remember the first time I heard that cable television wasn't a need. I thought they were crazy. I thought that comes with the house. Like, you know, what do you mean, man? I mean, everything's, that's a need. How am I going to stay plugged into the culture? How am I going to stay plugged into the news? That's another problem, right? I'm plugged into the news. I see everything going on around the world, which feeds my appetite to know. But I don't know what's going on in my kids' lives. I don't know what's going on here and now, and I'm not committed to praying fervently for here and now, and yet I'm sending my prayers to Africa and India and Asia, all over the place. I've got the world covered. My home needs me. There's a problem with knowing too much stuff, being so tied into everything. God doesn't care that I know what's going on in Africa. I can't influence it. God cares that I'm concerned about my kids, what's going on in the home, what's going on in my heart. So often we're so concerned about what's out there that we don't realize there's something going on here that needs to be addressed. So these wants that we get often distract us. They're a hindrance to the true needs. See, God promises to meet our needs. He promises. If you have a need, I will meet that need. But not so with the wants. The wants are on us, which is why we worry about them and we scratch and claw. And then, you know, it's just, oh man, I got a burden on my heart. And they're heavy. They're hindrances. But when I want something, my mind is tied to it. I'm always thinking about it. I'm concerned for it. It can become a weight.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
But you know what? I never think about whether or not I'm going to go to heaven. Because I have that hope, and it's in Christ, not in me. It's not a weight. That's the hope that we're supposed to set our heart on. It's not a burden. But those other things, they distract us. God promises to meet our needs, but I fear that we have become discontent with needs. And needs would be food, shelter, clothing. With these, we should be content. But I think we've become discontent with those. And our fervent prayers, our most fervent prayers, are often more for wants than needs. Let me read something by Howard Hendricks. It's a long quote, so bear with me, from his book, Living by the Book. He said, "We live in a time of rampant individualism. Today's motto is, it's all about me, my life, my job, my family, my plans, my rights, my happiness, me, me, me." That mindset has a way of invading both how we read the Word and how we apply it. We think the Bible is all about me. For instance, here's a sincere Christian lady who's driving around the parking lot of a shopping mall at the height of Christmas rush, desperate to find a parking space. She's been studying the book of Philippians, and she remembers that Paul wrote, My God shall supply all your needs. So she prays, Lord, I have a need. I really need a parking space. Please help me to find a parking space right now. I'm not sure what to do with a prayer like that. In truth, I've prayed it myself, so I don't mean to be harsh. I'm certainly glad that the woman thought to turn to the Lord in the midst of her personal crisis. But I wonder, is that really what Paul had in mind when he wrote Philippians? If we examine the letter, we discover that Paul was writing from a Roman jail, not exactly a resort. Moreover, the immediate context of chapter 4 shows that the Philippian believers had sent Paul a gift that seems to have involved money, perhaps as a result of their commitment to Christ. That's amazing, given that the Philippians were probably dirt poor themselves. Yet their concern for their spiritual father outweighed their personal sacrifice. So for that reason, the apostle thanked them for their gift and then assured them that my God will meet your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. They had sacrificed. Given that background, I think it's fair to ask a hard question. If I'm driving around at Christmas time in 21st century America, do I really need God to supply me a parking space? Is that really the most important thing I could be praying about? I mean, if I've got a car to get there, a shopping mall before me, and a credit card with a balance on it, what does it say about me if I'm imploring God to serve me up a parking space as well? Whose will am I asking the Lord to carry out? Let's be clear. The word applies to me, but the word is not centered on me. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." It's not about me, it's about God. Ephesians 2:10 shows us that I was made to fit into God's plan, not the other way around. If we would just look inside ourselves and be honest, we would be able to see that there are some weights in there that if we would let them go, they would give us hope for a brand new life, brand new results. They would no longer entangle us, and we'd be able to run. As you grow in the Lord, taking care of those weights, then God gives you certain victories, and these become pillars. Pillars that you set up and remember what God has done. For example, some who commit to getting out of debt, God blesses them. God does certain things, and their commitment is to get out of debt. So they say, okay, you know, first thing, what are we going to do? We're going to start giving to the Lord because that's out of whack. So we're going to give to the Lord. It's not much, but we're going to commit to that. So we do that. They start getting their lives in order, and all of a sudden, they just see certain things. The truck sold. Man, I can't believe we've been trying to sell that thing forever. And God starts to do certain things in their lives. These become pillars that they get to put up. But you don't get to put those pillars up unless you walk. Like Israel, when they crossed the Jordan, they had to step foot. And then when they crossed on that dry ground, God said, now set up some pillars. Set up some stones. Because I want you to remember this. You're going to run into some difficult times. Not everything's going to go perfectly well. But I want you to remember, when you do things my way, you trust me, good things happen. I've seen and I've heard these stories. Committing to stopping wasting time. So they say, look, no more computer after this time. Oh, and I hate it. And I don't know if I'm going to get certain work tasks done because I usually do it afterwards. But that's my commitment. And I feel like that's what God's wanting me to do. And yet they find out they get more done somehow. I've had these kind of things happen where you're like, I have so little time. And God's saying, I want you to pray. And you're thinking, I don't have time to pray. I can pray and drive. I can pray and do. I can pray and... And God's like, no. You got wrong priorities. You think this is all on you. First of all, anything you can't do but in the time allotted to you, you don't need to do. That's your stuff. But I'll give you plenty of time to do what I want you to do. So pray. Get the right priorities. And I have experienced times where I was so far behind that I thought that day I'm going to be working. I'll tell Ophelia, I may even have to come back Saturday. Only to find that I get even a few more interruptions, but I'm done by noon. I'm like, how did this happen? I don't understand it, but it's what God does. And they're pillars that we're to put up. Remember, don't get stressed out because things are happening and I'm doing something. Don't get stressed. Just trust me. I am here. Will you trust me? And then we see God do cool things and it becomes a pillar in our life. If you're not seeing many pillars being put up, it's because you're not trusting the one who asks you to put them up. You don't get to see them. You don't get to see them on your terms. You only get to see them on His terms. To get an estimate, here's one of our problems. Sometimes we think we're more mature in areas than we do, and we don't work on ourselves. To get an estimate of your maturity level, we're going to look at, very briefly, the three resources that God gives us to use. These are resources entrusted to us that we expend, and they are time, talent, and treasure. The three T's. Where are you spending them? And is God being honored? And is God receiving the first fruits? When you talk about time, praying, you know, first thing, getting up, seeking Him. I don't have enough time. I woke up a little late. Oh, so you cut off God's time. So it's God's cow that, you know, in your desire to offer to the Lord something, it's God's cow that died instead of yours. In terms of your gifts, are you just using those to make money? Are you serving the Lord with them also, giving Him the first fruits, the good stuff, not the leftovers, and then your treasure? You know, sometimes our way of doing that is the two cows. That was what I was referring to, is the two cows. There was a man who said, you know, I'm going to offer one of these to the Lord. They're both beautiful, and I don't know which one. They're both great, but I'm going to pray about it. Over time, one of the cows died, got sick and died. And so the man was broken, and he went to his wife and said, honey, I'm so broken. You don't understand my devastation. God's cow died. So he kept a good one for himself. They were both nice, but once one of them was no longer, he said, okay, well, that one's mine. That one was God's. Too bad. God's cow died. We do that, but we do it like this. At the end of the month, well, we had this come up and this come up and this come up. Well, all God's money got used up. All we got money for is us. Well, that's the way it is. God knows. Instead of our time, talent, and treasure going to Him first, and whatever's left, Lord, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do this? It puts us in the position of operating by faith. And it also keeps us out of trouble. Time. Jesus said, I don't have time for other things. I must be about my Father's business. If He had done all the other things, maybe He wouldn't have accomplished His Father's business. Wouldn't have had time to. I got to run from here and then run to there and run to there and run to there. And, oh man, the disciples are on a soccer team and we were playing the Pharisees. You see, it's a very important game. I had to be there because we got to show them whose God is greater. So after we whipped them, then I got here. So, hey, glory to God, we won. Yeah, but you missed the cross. No, I can still go. He said, I don't have time for the extra stuff. I have time for God's will, the will of the Father. Where are you spending these things, your time, talent, and treasure? Are you honoring the Lord with these things? Jesus said this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, where your treasure is, that's what your faith is in. That's what your hope is in. Now, speaking of Jesus, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The final place to look is obvious. Look at Jesus. Look to Him.
There's so much more to learn from Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through Hebrews, but this is where we need to close for today. We hope you've been blessed and encouraged in your own walk of faith as you listen to Building on the Solid Rock today. If you have any prayer requests you'd like us to lift up to the Lord, we'd be honored to hear from you. Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about what you heard today. We'll do our best to answer. Being part of a church family is vital to your growth as a Christian. We'd like to encourage you to find and begin attending a local community of faith if you haven't already. If you're in the San Antonio area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? We meet every Sunday and Wednesday, and you'll find more information at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope you'll join us again right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.